Good morning. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. I would like to welcome you to the conference call on Report on Economic Activity, Public Finances, and Public Debt as of the first quarter of 2020. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Mario Alejandro Gaitán González, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and José de Luna Martínez, Head of the Public Debt Unit of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with the remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining this conference on the first quarter report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt. I hope you and your families are doing well. These are difficult and uncertain times where we need to put care about all of our priorities. Before going into the details of the first quarter reports, I would like to give an overview of the government response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The disease has an uneven impact on society and affects particularly the most vulnerable population in terms of health and income, the elderly, the chronically ill, and the poorest population, and we must ensure their well-being. Strong contagion prevention measures have been undertaken across the world to slow down the contagion speed through travel and mobility restrictions and social distancing, including lockdown policies. The restriction in economic activity of these contention measures have had important consequences for households' income. In particular, in Mexico, a high share of the poorest population lives from informal job income, which is unstable and greatly affected by the lockdown. The relationship between health and economic activity greatly depends on the efficacy of the contention measures to control the evolution of the epidemiologic process. An effective lockdown reduces human life losses, the stress on the health system, and eventually allows for a faster economic recovery. In the current juncture, Mexico, as most of the countries in the world, is facing important challenges in terms of public health, economic activity, and its impact on households and liquidity, and firms' liquidity, income, and financial situation, as well as on public finances. On the latter, it implies a reduction of public revenues, spending pressures, and a more stringent situation in financial markets. The government top priority is and will be the lives, health, and well-being of the Mexican population, while maintaining a strong commitment with macroeconomic stability and fiscal prudence. Taking this into account, the government's first set of responses has been first, to contain the virus spread and minimize the consequences on the population health. These measures have several dimensions and include providing the necessary budget resources for public health, increasing coordination between the different public health institutions in Mexico, including those of the subnational governments, and contention measures of social distancing and lockdown. To quickly and effectively mitigate the economic impacts of the most vulnerable households, workers, and firms. The second action is to quickly and effectively mitigate the economic impacts on the most vulnerable households, workers, and firms. The third one is to provide liquidity to the financial sector, and finally, to promote a fast and sustained economic recovery. Behind the above lies an evaluation of past experiences, where easy to implement programs prove to be more successful. We're taking an approach that balances the necessary measures to support the economy and a careful consideration of the intertemporal consequences of fiscal decisions, and a close tracking of health and economic indicators to take additional measures immediately if needed. Now let me address the report on economic activity as of the first quarter of 2020. Early in the quarter, the global economy shows signs of recovery as a result of the easing of trade and geopolitical tensions. For Mexico, this positive development, together with approval of the USMCA by Congress, the Congress of the three countries, imply an important reduction of uncertainty and provided an improvement in growth perspectives. Nonetheless, the COVID-19 outbreak and its rapid spread across the globe, combined with the significant drop in oil prices, have generated unprecedented high economic uncertainty. The IMF, in its April World Economic Outlook, projected an annual global contraction of 3%, the most severe downturn since the Great Depression. In this context, the Mexican economy had an additional slowdown of activity in the first quarter of 2020. As we all know, last week, INEGI published the preliminary estimate for GDP, which shows that in the first quarter of 2020, using seasonal adjusted figures, the GDP had a quarterly decline of 1.6%, which implied an annual contraction of 2.4%, with the primary sector growing during the quarter 1.5%, while industrial production and services was shrunk by 3.2% and 0.9% respectively. Nonetheless, during the period of the first quarter, the labor market remained solid and resilient, with an unemployment rate at a low level of 3.2%. During March 2020, annual headline inflation stood at 3.25%, in line with the central bank's target of 3%, mainly as a result of low energy prices. With fuels at the end of the first quarter of the year, the Mexican peso depreciated 20% against the U.S. dollar as compared to the end of 2019. Let me speak about the 2020 economic prospects of the Mexican economy. At the end of the first quarter, there had already been an important impact on some sectors, particularly those related with mobility and services, with direct personal interaction, as well as some manufacturing activities. Nonetheless, the impact of the contention measure of employment and activity had not yet fully been materialized during the first quarter. We expect that in April and May, a further slowdown in activity with a deeper effect on the above-mentioned sectors and on those sectors that are not essential activities. And this slowdown will have important job losses. Nonetheless, we consider this effect will be transitory and we will observe a V-shaped economic recovery. The current economic recession is different to previous recessions, as it is not the result of the accumulation of fiscal and financial imbalances, as in the 1995 and previous Mexican crisis, or the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. Rather, it is the result of a policy-driven lockdown, and although it might have persistent effects if the epidemic is not well contained or if unemployment or fear of destruction is high, nonetheless, if contention measures are successful, the recovery might be fast with less hysteresis. The Mexican economy has shown resilience to face critical conditions as in previous crises and previous epidemic episodes, and this has been supported by the following. Mexico has good macroeconomic fundamentals with a flexible exchange rate and the second most traded currency among the emerging markets. A low and stable inflation with full independence of the central bank, a healthy and well-capitalized banking system as a result of a well-implemented banking regulation and effective supervision, healthy public finances with a sustainable level of debt and a strong commitment to maintain this position. Mexico is also a very well-diversified and open economy, and has a strong integration to value chains, in particular to serve those in the North American market, which has been favored by the recent approval and fast implementation in the following months of the USMCA, a promising necessary reconfiguration of value chains as a result of the of geopolitical and risk diversification factors given by the trade tensions and increased rivalry between the US and China, and by increasing risk in the supply chain coming from geographical concentration and distance, and by increasing risk of systemic events. a related epidemiological curve in Mexico relative to its main trading partners, which implies an early recovery on external demand. The Ministry of the Economy in Mexico is in constant communication with its Canadian and U.S. counterparts to coordinate the reopening of key sectors with the necessary safety protocols in order to maintain supply chains in the region. The measures to reduce the economic impact that have been announced today focus on mitigating the effect on the income of the population, particularly the most vulnerable. We estimate these measures to be adequate for the central macroeconomic scenario and show the commitment of the administration to ensuring a strong fiscal position. Nonetheless, in the Ministry of Finance, we have ready sets of additional measures for different scenarios and continuously track the economic and financial indicators to deploy them in a timely and effective fashion so as to prevent both a deeper recession and a longer recovery. Now let me turn to the main results regarding public finances. Analyzing the main results of revenues, we see that during the first quarter of 2020, public sector's total revenues amounted to 1.5 trillion pesos and were 25.3 billion pesos higher than those foreseen in the program, and 9.2% higher in real terms compared with the first quarter of 2019. The federal government total revenues increased 13% in real terms over the previous year and were higher than the program in 102.8 billion pesos, which is mainly explained by an increase in tax revenues of 13.3% in real terms compared to the same period of 2019 and of 48.2 billion pesos relative to the program. This is mainly explained by higher income value-added and excise taxes collection of 13, 18.3 and 4.6% respectively, with respect to the last year. The higher tax collection reflects the positive results of different measures to reduce tax evasion and tax fraud, including the cancellation of the universal compensation of taxes and an improvement in tax administration. To be completely transparent, the gains incorporate income tax with respect to 2019 also reflects a calendar effect, as definite 2019 corporate tax payments were paid and registered in March 2020, while last year the 2018 annual tax returns payments were registered at the beginning of April. In addition, federal government non-tax revenues increased by 75.6% in real terms with respect to the same period of last year, and were above the program by 67.3 billion. This result reflects the recovery of some assets from trusts. On the other hand, the revenues of the National Security, the Mexican Security, Social Security Institute, and the Institute ISTE, as well as the CSE revenues, were also above the program by 4.7 billion pesos. Meanwhile, Pemex revenues were 82.1 billion below the program due to lower than expected fuel sales and oil production. On the expenditure side, net paid expenditure amounted to 1.5 trillion pesos, 30.1 billion pesos lower than program, and 6.2% in real terms higher than the same period of last year. The federal government programmable expenditure, excluding autonomous branches, was higher by 26.5 billion pesos compared to program, and 15.2 higher in real terms with respect to the same period of last year. This was mainly due to the higher spending in the health sector to face the COVID-19 health contingency and the two-month advance payments to beneficiaries of the pension program for the elderly. The rest of the public sector expenditure was below the program in 50.7 billion pesos, of which 23.7 billion pesos correspond to Pemex. Non-programmable expenditure was lower by 9 billion pesos compared to the program, mainly because of lower financial costs. Now, on the public balances side, the revenues and expenditures outcome of the first quarter of 2020 implied that the main public finance balances were better than those estimated in the program. The primary balance recorded 137.7 billion pesos surplus, greater than the 79.6 billion pesos originally foreseen. The public budgetary balance registered a surplus of 26.9 billion pesos, which compared favorably relative to a deficit of 73.4 billion pesos in 2019. Finally, the public sector borrowing requirements, the broadest measure of balance, registered a 49.7 billion pesos deficit, mainly as a result of the incorporation of resources from trusts. Passing to the estimation for the year end, the figures are very similar to those presented a month ago in the preliminary guidelines of economic policy for next year. As of now, we're keeping the baseline scenario presented in the preliminary guidelines with an estimated economic growth practically in a range between 0 and minus 4%, with a point estimate for public finances of minus 2.9. Nonetheless, it incorporates a further reduction on oil revenues as a result of the cut in oil production agreed in the 10 extraordinary OPEC and non-OPEC ministerial meetings. It is worth mentioning that tax and non-tax federal government revenues estimates do not incorporate the good results observed in the first quarter, which leaves space for additional reductions in our forecast for the economic activity if needed. For 2020, it is estimated that the public sector borrowing requirements will reach a level of 4.5% of GDP. That is 1.9 percentage points higher than the original estimate presented in the economic package when the budget was present. And this is due to the use of public sector financial assets, such as the budgetary revenues of the stabilization fund and other public sector financial assets. Similarly, we estimate that the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements will stand up at 52.1% of GDP. The increase relative to last year's figure, to the closing of 2019 figure of 44.9% of GDP, comes from the use of assets already described, a higher public sector borrowing requirements of 1.9 percentage points of GDP. The higher deficit approved by Congress last year to stimulate the economy of 0.3 percentage points that was already approved in the approval of the budget. But most of the effect of the increase in debt comes from the currency depreciation in devaluation and of the contraction of the GDP that alters the base for which this indicator is measured. And these two valuation effects account for 5.1 percentage points of GDP. The scenario implies that at the moment it is possible to maintain the indebtedness ceiling approved by Congress and contains the increase of gross debt by financing the additional deficit using first federal government financial assets instead of issuing new debt. If the recessions were deeper, the Ministry of Finance has prepared additional measures of economic stimulus which would require the use of more fiscal resources, in line with the policies of other countries. Thus, the public finance results and the approach to tackle the economic emergency show a commitment, fiscal responsibility, and the orderly management of finances. Now, let me turn the microphone to Jose de Luna, head of the Public Credit Unit, which will describe the results of the first quarter regarding public debt.
Thank you, Alejandro. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused an unprecedented situation both in the global economy and in international financial markets. In particular, the uncertainty that prevails throughout the world has generated high volatility and reduced liquidity in financial markets. In this context, the public debt policy faces two main challenges. First, public debt managers must meet the federal government's resource needs in a timely manner while maintaining access to different sources of financing. Secondly, public debt managers must ensure that debt maintains a solid profile in terms of its maturity and refinancing risk, currency risk, and interest rate risk. Although the direct effects of the global pandemic are estimated to last only some months, many economies will be significantly increasing their debt stock levels. In fact, in some of them, their prospects for fiscal sustainability will deteriorate in the medium term. This could create scenarios of financial distress at regional or even global level. For this reason, the federal government's debt policy maintains a portfolio of liabilities with a smooth maturity profile and a low risk of refinancing, in addition to a low risk of interest rates and exchange rate movements. Let me now describe the key actions carried out in January and February 2020. I'll start with the domestic debt. On January 15, the federal government carried out the first syndicated placement of a new 3-year reference of UDI bonus for a total amount of 1.5 billion UDIs. The new reference bond due in November 2023 will pay a coupon of 3.5% and offer investors a yield of 3.33%. On January 22nd, a cross-exchange operation was carried out, which consisted of the exchange of 49.9 billion pesos of M and UDI bonus bonds with maturities between 2020 and 2022 for 48.1 billion pesos of M and UDI bonus bonds with maturities between 2023 and 2050 at market interest rates. With this operation, short-term debt was canceled and replaced by debt with maturities between 2023 and 2050 without incurring additional indebtedness. Now let me talk about foreign debt. On January 6, the federal government carried out a financing operation in the international markets for a total amount of $2.3 billion. This operation was accompanied by a liability management exercise for a total amount of $1.5 billion. The operation was made through the issuance of a new 10-year reference bond for $1.5 billion with a yield of 3.312 and a coupon of 3.24%. And the reopening of the bond with maturity in 2050 for $800 million with a yield of 4.041% and a coupon of 4.5%. It is important to highlight that the coupon rate of the new 10-year bond represented a historical minimum for any issuance ever made by the federal government in the dollar market. The financing operation reached a maximum demand of approximately $14.7 billion, equivalent to 6.4 times the total amount of the transaction. On the other hand, the liability management exercise reached a total amount of $1.5 billion. In this operation, the bondholders with maturities between 2022 and 2028 were offered the option of exchanging their bonds for the new 10-year bond or for cash. With this liability management operation, payment commitments for the following 8 years were reduced. On January 13, the federal government placed 1.75 billion euros, where 1.25 billion euros came from the issuance of a new 10-year reference bond with maturity in 2030, and 500 million euros came from the reopening of the bond with maturity in 2039. In this operation, the federal government obtained the lowest coupon rate in its history for bonds denominated in euros, that is 1.125% annually in the new 10-year bond. On the other hand, in the reopening of the 2039 bond, a yield rate of 2% was achieved, which implied a reduction of 96 basis points with respect to the rate of return at the time of its original placement in April 2019. With the resource raised, 1 billion euros was used to repurchase in advance the bond denominated in euros with a coupon rate of 2.375% and original maturity in April 2021. Let me now talk about the debt policy actions in the face of the pandemic period. Due to the pandemic, the government's debt actions focus on improving the internal and external debt portfolio profile in order to reduce future liquidity pressures in the Federal Treasury and take the necessary actions to guarantee the orderly operation of the local debt market. The program for domestic debt placement has been adjusted by reducing the issuance of long-term instruments and increasing the issuance of short-term securities. These changes have had the objective of maintaining liquidity and preserve the proper functioning of the local debt market. On March 13, a government securities exchange transaction was held to help preserve the orderly operation of the market. The transaction consisted of receiving instruments at a fixed rate, or M-bonds, with maturities between 2023 and 2047 for an amount of 36.5 billion pesos and delivering in exchange instruments at a variable rate and short-term instruments. On March 19, a liability management operation was carried out for an amount of 40.2 billion pesos. The transaction consisted of exchanging instruments at a variable rate and short-term instruments for instruments at a nominal fixed rate with maturities between 2021 and 2042. The purpose of this exchange of government securities was to provide liquidity and contribute to the orderly operation of the market in the face of volatility episodes observed in global financial markets. On March 25th, a liability management operation was carried out in the local debt market. This operation was an exchange of M-bonds maturing in June 11, 2020 by CETES for an amount of 53.4 billion pesos. Finally, on April 23rd, the federal government carried out the first exchange of government securities for financial institutions that act as market makers. The purpose of this operation was to help preserve the orderly operation of the internal debt market by strengthening the figure of market makers, as well as improving the profile of the federal government's internal debt maturities. The transaction consisted of the exchange of instruments at a nominal fixed rate, maturing in 2047, for M-bonds with maturities between 2020 and 2042, in the amount of 9.5 billion pesos. Now let me talk about foreign debt. On April 22nd, the federal government placed new benchmark bonds in the dollar market in the amount of $6 billion through the following instruments. New benchmark 5-year bond maturing in 2025 in the amount of $1 billion at a coupon rate of 3.9% and a yield of 4.125%. New 12-year reference bond maturing in 2032 in the amount of $2.5 billion at a coupon rate of 4.75% and a yield of 5%. And finally, new benchmark 31-year bond maturing in 2051 in the amount of $2.5 billion at a coupon rate of 5% and a yield of 5.5%. This issue reached a demand of approximately $28.5 billion, equivalent to 4.75 times the total amount of the transaction, and was acquired by more than 420 institutional investors from around the world. It is important to highlight that the results achieved with this transaction reflect that despite volatility in international financial markets, Mexico continues to have wide access to the world capital markets. And also, this is the placement of bonds with the highest demand carried out by the federal government in the history of the country. I would like to emphasize that the federal government's debt management will use all the tools at its disposal to maintain the liquidity and proper functioning of the local debt markets, and at the same time ensure federal government's financing is obtained in a timely manner. As mentioned, in the first quarter of 2020, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements stood at 48.7% of GDP, higher by 3.9 percentage points than the observed level at the end of 2019. Public sector net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, the state-owned enterprises, and development banks, stood at 49.8% of GDP at the end of the first quarter of 2020. The domestic share of net debt was 29.8% of GDP, and the external share amounted to 20% of GDP. Lastly, the federal government debt was 37.1% of GDP at the end of the first quarter. Its domestic component stood at 27.4% of GDP, and the external component amounted to 9.7% of GDP. As of the first quarter of 2020, the federal government's debt portfolio maintains low risk indicators. The currency risk remains low, with 73.9% of the federal government's net debt being denominated in domestic currency. Additionally, refinancing risk maintains a low level since the average maturity of the foreign market debt is 19 years and the average maturity of domestic market debt is 8 years. Lastly, interest rate risk is also limited, with 82.1% of domestic market debt held at long-term and at a fixed rate, while 100% of the external market debt is at a fixed rate. Thank you for your attention, and now we can proceed to the question and answer part.